we'd been going for a couple of months. It was only 3 weeks. And I kept telling Shaw, I said, man, I think I'm ready to go home. And so there must be something good over here. But we had a good time. It was our 30th anniversary, and I'm so thankful God has blessed me with a great wife and been married for 30 years. And we had a great time celebrating and heard a lot of good reports, a lot of things going on here, and we're glad for it. And we've been in our study, two things that we're talking about. We're going through all the words Jesus ever said in chronological order. So it's a little different. It's a little challenge there because the Bible is not written in chronological order. A lot of people think, well, if I read it from the front to the back, it's the chronological order. It's not written that way. So you have to do your homework and go through it, look at dates and times and things that they say to find that out. So we started doing the study, every word Jesus said, and we've been doing that. And so we feel that it'll take us this entire year to finish it because of the great and mighty things that he said, and they're so important. You know, we put a lot of weight on what other people say, and I felt that it was important for us to go back and take some time out. And, you know, there are more people quoted in pulpits around the world than any time that Jesus is quoted. Did you know that? People quote famous people. They say great things, and they're great things. But I think we should quote more what Jesus said, because he's the one that paid the price in full for us, and we ought to be listening to what he said. So that's why we started that study. And the second thing we were doing, and now, of course, we've been doing that on Sunday, and on Thursday night for our Bible study, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. A lot of things that people don't understand about the Holy Spirit. And so because there's no understanding, they stay as far away from that topic as possible. Yet, God, it's declared that it's something that's necessary in order for the believer to have a successful relationship with him through Christ. So what you think? Maybe we should know something a little about it. If you can only have a successful relationship. Now, people say, well, I feel like I got a relationship, but it doesn't matter what you feel. How many understand that? Just because a man can think don't make it right. It really doesn't matter what we think. It matters what he said. See, we're following what he said. He's prescribed the method in which a person has a relationship to God. Jesus said it this way. He said, no man can go to the Father but through me. Now, if I say, well, the way I see it, though, I can have my own relationship. Well, who am I to go against what Jesus said? That would be crazy, wouldn't it? So if you know in the Word of God that it says no man, no one can go to the Father but through Christ, then how is it people believe in the world today? There are many ways to God. You know, you can just find your own spirituality. You know, go sit underneath a tree and the wind blows just right. You get a chill bump, you found something. Well, it doesn't work like that. That's why, we needed a Savior. And his name is Jesus. He came and he died for the sins of the world. And we have to take that which he provided for us and apply it to our lives. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So it means you can't work for salvation. You say, well, I'm going to be a good person. Well, that won't get you anywhere with God. It might get you some places with people, and you might be recognized as a good person, and people, your eulogy at your funeral will be a real long one, but it won't get you anywhere with God. You can be as good as you want to be. He said, for by grace you are saved through faith. The grace is God's, one simple definition is the unmerited favor of God, something we work for. God just made a decision. He said, I'm going to grace you. I'm going to give grace to you. What does that mean? That means he didn't have to do it, but he did it so a whole society wouldn't be lost and undone without God. So he gave us grace. Now, in order for grace to apply to our lives, we needed a Savior. We needed somebody to pay the penalty for our sin. And Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. So he died on the cross. He was buried 3 days. The Father raised him from the dead. And he stayed around and ministered and preached the gospel. And then he ascended to heaven. Now, when he ascended, he was seated. He was given a position that no one else could take. That position the Father gave him, he said, I'm going to sit you at my own right hand in heavenly places. Then he said this. He said, I'm going to set you far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named. not only in this age. Now, that's important because that's eon there. Not only in this eon, this age. How many know there are different ages? We're in an age right now, and this age is going to end. When this age ends, what's going to signify the end of this age is when Christ returns. Christ is coming back how many times? How many times does he come? He came once. So everybody count. One. So he comes again. Two. There's no three, four, five, six. There's a lot of different beliefs out there. But the scripture says he comes twice. When he comes, that age that we're in now, right now, ends. We saw the new age. It's called a millennium. In that age, he's still going to be far above all principalities, powers, and every name that's named. He's still going to be above everything. Because he said, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So how many know that there's an age to come? Now, people think that age to come is in heaven somewhere. Well, that's not what the scripture says. The age to come is Christ's rule and reign on this planet. He's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives is going to split in two. And I mentioned this before I left. They just had discovered this seismic crack that goes right through the Mount of Olives all the way to the East Gate. They just discovered it. And they asking, how'd that get there? I can tell them. I know exactly how it got there. The creator of everything put that crack there. Why is there a crack there? Why is there a seismic crack going through the Mount of Olives to the East Gate? Because the Bible says that when he returns, the Mount of Olives is going to split in two and create a path or a valley all the way to the East Gate, and he'll walk that path. The King of Kings will walk that path. He'll be seated in Jerusalem. The Antichrist will be dethroned. The Bible says that he'll destroy the Antichrist with the appearance of his glory. And that glory is a given glory. Can you imagine God's glory? Think about that. If the glory that Jesus returns with will destroy the Antichrist, can you imagine the glory of God? And so these are important principles. And so that's what we've been talking about, dealing with these issues and understanding these fascinating things that God has done for us. Now, here's the thing about your relationship to God. Your relationship to God is sealed, or you have an earnestness. How many of you ever heard the term earnest money? Anybody's ever heard? That's a term that buyers and sellers understood quite it was just normal talk for buyers and sellers years ago. They called it earnest money. Now you got to have six lawyers and paper stacks that high, and still they'll find a loophole and take something from you. But before, it was a handshake and an earnest money, a down payment. And I'll come back. I'm a man of my word. I'm going to purchase that or whatever. You want to put some money down on it? Yes, they put money down on it, and it never gets sold. That man will hold it because it's called earnest money. I'm a man of my word. I'm going to come back. Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the earnest money. It's the guarantee that he's going to come back. So we're sealed with Holy Spirit. Now, I would think that if the enemy is going to use anything to discourage people from building a relationship with God, it would be to get people sidetracked or off track with just milling around with this, the isms and the schisms of Bible, rather than understanding the plain teaching of the Word of God. And so we get so caught up in, well, I don't believe this or I don't believe that, but we don't understand the plain, simple teaching of the Word of God. And so people come to church and they're genuine. I believe they're genuine. They come, they have a deep feeling in their heart, and they want to come to serve God. But they don't understand the whole principles of the Word of God. They don't understand that the moment they make that commitment, that the Holy Spirit that's promised to them is the earnest money. It's the earnestness for them, and they can have that power to overcome any obstacle that the enemy is going to throw in their path. And that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, don't believe that you go to church and things are going to go good for you. Now, overall, they're going a whole lot better than when you weren't going. Because now You were on a path or a broad road to destruction. Now you've turned it around and you're on a narrow and straight path to everlasting life. But how do you stay on that path? You stay on it by Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God that can dwell in us because Christ paid the price to wash or cleanse us, to make the gift that's going to be presented to God a sacrifice that's acceptable. That's why he said, Paul put it this way. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy? Now, how in the world could I apply holy to my life? You got to ask yourself that question. Holy? Do I really know what that means? It literally means to be set apart. It's hagios in the original word. It's to set apart. It's for a special purpose. And he says, for me to do that? I look at my shortcomings and my faults and failures, and I go, wow, I can't do that. Well, how am I able to come and even stand up here and teach tonight? By Holy Spirit. It's me stepping aside and allowing the Spirit of the Lord to use me, give me insight and understanding that I know I didn't have on my own. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you power to serve God. You don't have that power as a standalone. None of us do. That's why we needed a Savior. And a lot of times we don't understand. I was talking with my son, was talking about some of these things when we was on our vacation. And I think about this all the time. If you're drowning, you know, we was out in the big water yesterday and we had an incident that we had a lot of water come in the boat. Like all of a sudden, right? But just say we all would have went in the water, all of us. And we're out in the water. And then we're going to tread water as long as we can. As long as we can. And then we'll start talking to each other. And we'll make statements like, I don't know if I can make it. And maybe some of you here, maybe you said that time or two in your life. I'm going through a lot. I don't think I can make it. And somebody says, hey, you can make it. We're going to have to find one guy in the bunch that's going to say, hey, we're going to get out of this. I don't know how. And then he starts getting tired. And he's treading. And he says, you know what? You're right. I don't know if we can make it. And then the other guy says, hey, both of you, we're going to get out of this. They need that encouragement. See, we need each other. Yeah. We're way better people if we stand inside of each other and we don't pick out our shortcomings, but we iron sharpens iron and we say to each other, you know what? We're better now that we know each other than we would have been as a standalone. And that's important. Valuable. And then we're treading, and the third guy says, you know what? Maybe we're not going to be saved. And all of a sudden, there's nobody else around to encourage. And a deep, dark feeling of fear comes, and you feel like, I'm going to drown. I can't get out this mess I'm in. And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, this boat pulls up. Hey, guys, y'all need help? Do we need help? We're going down for the last time. Well, I'm going to help y'all. And he throws a life ring. And this is what people do. They're waiting for their denominational life ring to come. And he throws one that's not your, suits you. What are you going to do? That's not my denomination. You see what people do? And they stay in the water. Some drown. When they stand before God, he said, well, I sent a boat to get you. But why would we have to drown when there's hope? So quit looking at denomination and just take the Bible. When I started pastoring, I said to the Lord, I said, there's one thing that I want to learn to do is I want to teach this. But I realized one big problem. I didn't know anything about it. I knew the basic elements, but I didn't know. I knew how to teach about Jonah and the whale and Daniel in the lion's den. I understood those stories. I could talk about that stuff. But when you teach this, there's something that comes, it's just alive. And so I asked the Lord, if you can't give me insight, then I'll never know what to do. I won't be able to make it. And I'm going to tell you how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And I got I probably got 50 slides to show you tonight, and I hadn't showed you one yet. I'm trying to get there because it's my introduction. But then the guy just throws this life ring, and what do? You forget what color it is and whether it's your suits you, and you're so tired, you're so done with you trying to do it. You just hold on, and he pulls you in, you get in the boat. You just got saved. All right? You just got saved. Now he brings you back to the land. He lets you out. It would be crazy to catch the next boat out, get to that same location, and jump in the water again, right? Wouldn't that, I mean, who does that kind of stuff? That would be crazy. Yet people do it with their life day after day after day after day. And what happens? God, by his grace, throws them a ring again, pulls them in, brings them back to land, puts them there. Now what the Holy Spirit does is when you get back on land, it empowers you. If you'll be sensitive to the things of God. It's not you that speaks anymore. It's not your words, but the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. Now, the Spirit of God is the only thing that understands God. And you'll see that as I read these slides. The Spirit of God is the only thing that understands God. Nobody, I don't care who they are, how many years they've preached the gospel, nobody can say to you that they understand God. There's only one power, a source that we have that understands God, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God knows the things of God. The Spirit of man knows the things of man. That's our limit. If you want to know what your limit is, the Spirit of man knows the things of man. But the Spirit of God knows the things of God. Now, how did Jesus have such success? Because he was filled with Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. These words are not my words, but they're his words. See, that makes the words of Jesus a whole lot more important now, right? He said, this is what he said. These are not my words that I speak. They're his words. And that's important to understand. So let's take a look at some of these. I don't know exactly where I left off when I left. But I'll ask this question. What happens? Can y'all see that up there? What slide that one is? There we go. Ooh, I don't know if I'll cover all this, but we'll try. What does the indwelling of the Spirit mean? We'll go over a few of these. In the process of redemption, I put just a couple sentences here to show you, and I want you to understand these concepts, because a lot of people don't understand this about themselves or who God is. In the process of redemption, after the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sins. So how does conviction happen? By Holy Spirit. Nobody realized one day, well, I guess I'm wrong. Conviction happens. No one. When it says man in the scriptures, in the King James Version, it says no man. That's not gender restricted. He's talking about no human being, no person can come to the Father but by the Holy Spirit drawing them. So the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. And what happens, it's the Word of God that comes forth. He says, how can I hear unless somebody tells me? So what is faith? What is faith? How does it happen? How does it reveal? Faith comes by hearing. See, some of you are going to go home with way more faith than you had when you got here. Was that because I'm just dumping faith out? No, I'm just speaking. Faith comes by hearing. You hearing. You got it. You hear it. And hearing comes by the Word. The Word there is the rhema of God. Not the Logos. It's the rhema. It's the spoken Word. So the spoken Word is the Logos. It is the written Word. But for it to have power and authority, needs to be spoken. You need to speak it out. And when you speak the Word of God, there's something that happens. There's things that take place in the spirit realm that's hard to explain. It's really hard to explain. But you got to speak words out. So that's why we read the Scripture. When you read it, you read Scripture. If you're ever going through something, go in the Word of God. You read it to yourself. That's how faith is produced inside of you. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. He draws the soul. Now, when the Word soul is mentioned in the scripture, that's the person. Don't think that that's somebody else in you. That's a bad way to think. Because you'd be hard-pressed to try to get me to think that there's somebody else living in you that you call something else. When he says he convicts the soul, he convicts the person. That's the whole person, too. Not part of that person. The whole person. You're the soul. So when we find that in Genesis, and we have the Hebrew word, nefesh, so we have that word and we understand its concept. We look at the number, Strong's number, it gives us that understanding. So when he breathed into the nostril, the breath of life, man became a living what? Living soul, became a person. Until then, that was not a person. It was just, he gathered the dust of the ground together. It was dirt. It's all it was. It was nothing but dirt. But when he breathed, man became a living person, a human being. Does that make sense? So keep that in mind, because don't think, they just don't understand deep down in my soul. And sometimes we use that and we'll shelter that off or barricade that part off, and nobody can get deep down in there. Well, Holy Spirit, he takes care of the whole person. And so keep that in mind when you're working in this relationship. So he draws the soul, the person, to Christ and salvation, imparting faith as a gift of the Spirit. So faith is a gift of the Spirit. We'll see that later on. The faith allows the soul or the person to see their guilt of sin and turn from sin, and it's called repentance. The turn from sin is repentance. And that's what every person in this building that has that, you want a relationship with God, there has to be repentance first. Nobody can go to God without repentance. No one. Your family can't bring you. I always tell my children, you can't come on my faith. You got to go on your own faith. Your church can't bring you. Your preacher can't bring you. Your priest, whoever it is that you, nobody can give you a relationship with God because of what they did. Repentance is what we have to have. We repent, means we turn from our way, and we go in a completely the other direction. Because we're on the wrong road, we get on the right road. So just keep that in mind. If you're here and you've never repented, well, you've asked the Lord, you've repented of all the guilt, then don't make up in your mind somehow or another that everything's going to be good if you die. You're lying to yourself. That'll never happen. Never will it happen. And then you ever been to a funeral? Anybody's ever been to a funeral where somebody preached and said, well, I don't know if they made it. You'll never hear that. You know why? Because everybody wants to just be nice. And but yet the scripture says everything that we say, like this audience here, I'm going to be held accountable for everything I say tonight when I stand before God on your behalf. Every one of you, if I say anything in any way that leads you in the wrong direction, your blood is going to be on my hands. I'll look at it. So that means a lot to me. And so I'm going to do it my best to make sure that I've looked at the scripture and I pray and ask the Lord. And I always say, how many of you ever heard me say this statement? Lord, if there's anything I said that's not correct, let it fall, let it not stick. Let nobody be deceived or hindered in any way. Because as a possibility, I could have made a mistake. But Lord, everything that I said that was what your word directed me to say by your Spirit, I pray that it sink on good ground and bring forth fruit in everybody's life, because that's important. So keep that in mind when you're looking at this. We have to repent, asking God to forgive our sins through the blood of Christ. And that's the only way we can have forgiveness. Through the death of Christ, the sin of repentant sinners are paid for on the cross. They are declared justified before God. Now, that word justified is important. A lot of people say, well, what can I do to be justified? Well, you just repent. You can't say, well, I'm going to go and get me some justification. That'll never happen. You follow the prescription that's been laid out. You repent, justification. It's just as if you had not sinned. That's what you get in right standing. It's called righteousness, right standing with God. Now, sanctification is a different word. Sanctification is something that you and I can work on a daily basis. And are you going to just be sanctified day one? Never going to happen. It's not going to happen. It takes time. For sanctification work, it takes time. You're going to figure things out and you're going to find out, I don't do that no more. I used to, but I don't do that no more. And before you're going to start seeing a life change in it. So if somebody comes to church and all their life, all they ever done was curse. And they go to church and everybody that they cursed with is with, at church with them, and they see him. And then they go back to work and they curse. They say, huh, nothing happened to him. Well, that's not true. Give them a chance to be sanctified. They're justified before God, not before you. They don't even prove anything to you. Justification is before God. Does this make sense to everybody? Sanctification, give them a chance. That's all they ever done. How many understand that? I'll never forget when we started Cornelia, and we had some brothers that just got saved, and they run hard. How many know when I say brothers run hard? And maybe you know what running hard is, all right? Well, anyway, they had a way with words. That's a nice way to put it, huh? They had a way with words. Well, we had all these preachers on the boat. Well, one of them brothers, he had a way with words right there on the spot. Made preachers' knees go weak. And they come tell me. I said, well, he's being sanctified. Give him a break. They just look at me. When they come, what do you think I'm going to say? Y'all know me. I said, they're being sanctified. They're all right. You were there. They just look. The Holy Spirit then enters the new believer and is deposited as a what? Guarantee. It's deposited as a guarantee. So here's the thing. Somebody said, well, I don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. Well, when you got saved, it was deposited in you. The issue and the problem we have in the church is nobody's teaching about this. So people got power, don't use it. Got power and don't use it. It's like having a second tank. I remember I had a truck and I had two tanks on that truck. And you go down the road, when one got empty, you hit the button. You didn't have to stop anything, just hit the button. And he was running on the other tank. On my boats, two tanks. Now, that would be something if I'd buy a new boat. And I wouldn't have never read the manual that told me I had two tanks. And I'm running out through the Gulf and I run out of fuel. And I'm just sitting there waiting. Drifting. Boats are jerking. And I got a full tank of fuel on the other side, but I don't know nothing about it. How many think that would be a big help if I'd read the manual and figured out I had a second tank? The problem in the church is nobody realizes you got a second tank. You get burned out, you can't go no more, the Holy Spirit kicks in. You don't know what to pray about, Holy Spirit kicks in. You frustrated and aggravated at everybody, preacher done made you mad, Holy Spirit kicks in. How many want that? Can I have it? You can absolutely have it. Is it something that's going to pour out of heaven and hit you in the head? Nope. How do you have it? Realize it. That when you were born again, you had the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. That's what you got to do. Realize it. When you realize it and you start reading everything, get your Bible, find every scripture you can on the Holy Spirit. And that's what I've been taking you through. I've been reading every scripture we found on the Holy Spirit. Go get your Bible and read it. Jesus talked about it, must be important. All the apostles talked about it, must be important. Everybody in the early church, everybody was talking about it. I think it's important. But we drift away from that. We struggle. And people's good. I mean, you realize you're going through life. And you know what's the saddest thing? Is when you think, you know, I'm doing good. I didn't know it all these years and I'm doing good. You ever wonder why? Because every time, without your acknowledgement, that you thought you finally made a victory, it was Holy Spirit that was pushing you along the way. I can tell you, the moment you turn around and say thank you, the moment you start telling the Holy Spirit, I appreciate that help. I thank you for that assistance. That's realizing that it's available, and the relationship begins to grow. It begins to blossom. It begins to be amazing. Now, every person can be successful serving God. All this in and out came at you, that you have to realize what happened, and that's why we have to teach it so people don't use it. Because everybody will use the excuse, well, you know, I just, for some reason, it's not working for me. It can and it will. So once that happens, the guarantee, the soul is a new creation before God, born again, justified in Christ. And that is important to understand. With the Holy Spirit indwelling us, our bodies become literally. Now keep this in mind. Now a lot of people don't teach this as a literal sense, but the scripture literally says this, and so we want to look at it in a literal way. Our body becomes literally the temple of God. Now that's tough to get your mind wrapped around. The body becomes the temple of God. Now, how does God, how many has ever heard this statement? Raise your hand. I want participation on this question here. How many has ever heard this statement that Jesus lives in my heart? Yes. Come on, raise your hand. You ever heard that statement? Yes. Well, I want to ask you a question. If he's living in your heart, how is he at the right hand of the Father right now? Both of them are true, right? I agree with he's living in my heart, too. I agree with that. The question is, how is he living in my heart and at the right hand of the Father right now? How does he do it? By Holy Spirit. Remember that. By Holy Spirit. That's how he does it. He's not literally left the throne on the right hand of the Father and come and made residence in my heart. How does he do it? By Holy Spirit. So we say little things, we don't even realize the power and authority in the words that we speak. God's living in me. That's another statement. A lot of people stay away from that because that's really strong, but they mean the same in the sense that God lives in me by Holy Spirit. So when I talk about Holy Spirit, I can talk about both God and Jesus all at the same time because it operate that way. And I went over that in our first portion, the very first portion. You got to go back and listen to the tapes when we covered that. And that's pretty tough to get your mind wrapped around sometimes. Now, I'll give you these scripture, and I'll move on as quickly as I can. So I'm going to go through them fairly quick. You can write them down and go back. And again, this is not exhaustive. This study is not an exhaustive. What does I mean? What I mean? It means there's a lot more verses and things to read, so take your time. Don't take my word for it. I'm just telling you what I've discovered. You go back, look at what I'm telling you, and research it for yourself, and you'll see what the scripture says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise." How were we sealed? With. Now, when did that happen? I'm going to read it again really slow. "In him, you also," talking about believers, "listen to the message of truth." You listen to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also, what's the condition? What's the condition? You got to believe. Remember, you can listen all day long, but there's a condition. What do you have to do? Believe. So after you believed, right, we believe in our heart. Once that belief happens, what does believe? What does he mean there, believe? It means to adhere to the instructions. You're going to adhere to those and follow those instructions. Whatever that was, you're going to adhere to it. You're now, because you already adhered to something before that. We already had our own rules, regulations, the way we live our life. We denounced that, and we embraced the things that he said. So we believe. The moment you believe, what happened? Did you have to go to church, go to the altar, somebody lay hands on you, shake you, and go da, 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 da? No. When you believed, wherever that was, at your house, riding in a car, on a boat, maybe here at church. I don't know where it happened for you. But when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we have to start the process of building that relationship, realizing we have power now. And that's important. So when we look at that extensively, it gets some of it gets a little deep, but I left out as much as I could and kept in the critical parts, and you can go back and look at it on your own time. Verse 14, "who is given as a pledge of our inheritance." So we know why the sealing of the Spirit comes, because he's given as a what? A pledge. Remember we talked about that guarantee as a pledge of our inheritance. "With a view to the redemption of God's own possession. So what does that tell me? There's still something that has to be done. There's a day coming. The redemption of God's own possession. Does that sound like to anybody else here? He's talking about a time when he comes and receives, gathers, takes. We're with him. That's what he's talking about here. So the redemption of his own possession to the praise of his glory. So that's important. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Or do you not know that your body," because I made this comment that your body literally, and here's the verse, "or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Where is he at? In you. Where's the Holy Spirit right now? All of you believers in here. Remember, that's the condition. So I can't say everybody. I don't know. I don't know if you're a believer or not. If you are, this all goes with every believer in here. What do you believe? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one paid the price in full. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He's the Messiah. And the Hebrew term is we believe without a doubt that he is the Messiah or the Mashiach. That's what the Hebrew term for him. That's what you believe. And you've accepted that. So you're the body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. But there's another thing that you have to keep in mind is what happens when the guy, after he gets brought back to land, and he says, "Well, I'm going to get the first boat back out and jump in the same spot I was saved from before." He's taking it in his own hands. Remember, you're not your own. So now that's what you do. So you're more sensitive. Before, we just made decisions when we wanted to. We didn't ask. We didn't think about the repercussions of the decision. But now you're going to start making decisions based upon the leadership or the guiding of Holy Spirit. Should I go? I don't know. Before the guiding of Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have had the question come up. Well, I don't know if I'm going to church. What the Holy Spirit says, it's time for church. It's just that little witness inside. It's this simple. It's like, you said, "Was like, am I bending down and I'm talking to somebody?" No. If you want to. Holy Spirit. Hi. You could do that. People's going to go, "Okay." No, there's just something about it. You might be planning something. You say, "You know what? I don't think I'm going." Was that something that you came up with? No, because you're in that relationship, you all of a sudden, you had a change of heart, a change of mind because something didn't feel right to you. That was a witness by Holy Spirit. Very important. Keep that in mind. The word holy, remember I gave you that? He wants us to be holy. Let me give you Strong's Concordance. Hagios, there it is, holy, sacred. Short definition, set apart, holy, sacred. The definition, set apart by or for God. Set apart by for God, holy and sacred. So I just put that definition in. You have a Strong's, you can pull it up. I just copied it right off of my computer. It has my Strong's on it, so I just copied it and put it right in there. A person coming to faith means God has set that person apart from those in the world. So you come to faith and you set apart from those in the world. Here's the thing. We have to be careful that we're not the initiator of that which is set apart. Keep that in mind. Because then we can get so set apart, we don't have ability to help anybody. Does that make sense to everybody? And keep that in mind. So what do? He set you apart. We don't know what that is. Listen, Paul was set apart. He put him right smack in the middle of Rome. Well, he should have. Why didn't he go to Jerusalem? That would have been a better fit for him, right? He's a Jewish guy. Why did he put him in Rome? Because he put him there for a purpose and a reason, and the book of Romans was written. Does that make sense to everybody? So keep that in mind. You're set apart for his scripture calls all who are saved as saints or holy. They are separate. We are born again. Born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. So that's something that you'll learn as you're going along in your relationship. These things ought to be taught daily. These things ought to be daily things that are being taught in our services. This is what we gather for. We're not here to chit-chat. We're here to learn the Scripture so people who are living for the Lord understand how to keep living for the Lord. And that's important. And this is very important. And then not only that, you're here to grow. So you can go out and you'll tell people the same thing. Everything I'm telling you, you can say what I'm saying. It'll work just the same. You can tell it somebody else and the same benefit will happen to them. They'll be blessed. What happens with Holy Spirit dwelling in us? Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they receive Holy Spirit, which would result in power. So he told them that in the book of Acts, chapter 1. He's about to ascend. He said, go into Jerusalem and dwell there till you be endued with power from on high. So we have the process. There's a process of things that happen in order for it to be written, for our comprehension. That was the process in which it took place with the disciples. They believed. They were believers. They were believers. But he said the promise had not yet happened because the Spirit had not yet come. Once that happened, that we're still in that same age. Right now, we're in that age, so Holy Spirit is available the moment you believe. So you don't have to go to Jerusalem and tarry. Somebody said, man, you get the Spirit, you got to go tarry. You got to go tarry somewhere. You got to go and just pray for a long time, and it'll finally come. That's not what the Scripture says. That's not what it says. And then we're going to learn this as we go along in this. Of course, we went through a lot of this. When he says that you shall receive power, that word power there is dunamis. It's miraculous power, might, strength. And I put that definition up there, might, power, marvelous work, physical power, force, might, ability. So you can look it up in your own Strong's there. You'll find it. You can use any number of Bible Gateway, Blue Letter Bible, all those online. I mean, there's plenty of Bibles. If you can't find one in print, if you can't get a Strong's paper, back Strong's, you can get them at libraries, you can get them at bookstores, but that's handy for you. Look up those words, and they'll be a blessing to you. And I just put another one there for you to show you that. The Holy Spirit not only transforms us into a new creation, we receive power to do the work at hand. So we not only transform into a new creation, but we receive power to do the work at hand. And that's the critical thing that needs to happen for each one of us, because we're going to be judged according to what our obligation was. Now, when we come to serve God, we're obligated to God. How many has a job here? How many has a job? It means you work for somebody. You have somebody that you have to go in. All right, you have a job, and you had an agreement. And you went with no job. You got there, and they gave you a job. Now you have a job. They told you, this is what we're going to pay you. This is when you need to be at work. And so what happens? You get up the next morning, and you go at the time you are agreed. You work those hours, and you do that for a week, if it's on a weekly schedule or biweekly, whatever it is. And at the end of that agreement, the check's cut. There it is. And you go, wow, this thing works. And you do it the next week, and so on and so forth, right? Well, what happens if you go in there and you say, I need a job? You didn't have one. They were offering. They said, well, we'll hire you. You got a job. Here's the agreement. The first morning, they said, you got to be in at 6 o'clock in the morning. First morning, you set the clock for 6. You get up, you milling around in the kitchen. You making coffee. You reading the newspaper. And 8 o'clock comes, and you say, well, I guess I'll show up. So you walk, you get to work about 8:30, and everybody's staring at you. And all of a sudden, you see this guy that you talk to, he goes. How many of you know he ain't there to give you a check? What's going to happen? He's going to say, look, buddy, we agreed. It's your first day. See you. What happens in serving God is you made an agreement. You got to show up, and you got to do your part. So don't say, well, it's for the preacher to do. No, it's your job to live your life and take care of your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not my job. I'm here to teach the Word of God. You can receive it or not. You don't have to listen to me. But your job is to show up and do what you agreed to do. When you do that, at the end of your work schedule, you can be sure the pay will be there. God, let me just tell you, I can't talk for nobody else, but God's been faithful to me. He only asked me to do what I could do. And every time, God's come through for me. And it looked like sometimes, I remember the first time I showed up and the whole business was wiped out. You remember that? The whole thing was gone. And you don't scratch your head and say, well, I ain't got a job. You hear that voice and says, we're going to get through this. We're going to make it. There ain't no time to throw your hands up and quit and cry. It's time to get busy. And let me tell you, what does God do? He comes through every time. Every time. Why? Because he's faithful. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to build you all up and then leave you on your own. He never does that. There's a song they used to sing when we were kids. There's a record that says, what's that song? I don't forget who sings it. He didn't build us up to let us down. He didn't build a home in us to move away. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. What does that mean? It means he's going to stick it out with you. Listen, we went through some tough times here during all that stuff. God was with us every step of the way. Did we understand everything? Absolutely not. We just held on to God. Trust him. And he comes through for you. And that's all God's asking. Every person in here, every one of you, you can be successful in living for God. You talk about a life that'll turn around, your life will turn around. Things you'll see, wow. Does that mean you're going to get everything you want? Probably not. I'm not in the business to tell you, I'm not lying to you, but you'll be in way better shape than you are now. Way better. Because that's what happened to me. I'm experienced in this. My life was way better when I made a commitment to do what God asked me to do. And let me tell you, you think I wanted this? I didn't sign up for preaching. I'm a fisherman. But God called me. He saved me, brought me to the land, and he said, hey, son, will you preach for me? Well, I'm a fisherman. He didn't want to hear that. I just figured out, you know what? He took me out the deep blue sea. I was going down for the last time, and he asked me if I'd just preach for him. Yeah, you better believe I will. Matter of fact, that's what I'll be doing when you come back. When you return, I'll be preaching. And make a commitment. Don't be afraid to make a commitment. You go to that work, I'm going to be a good worker. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to do my job because I appreciate you giving me a chance to work. That's what God's looking for. You know what? We live in a society that wants everything handed to them. And I was on the boat and I was meditating on that deck just before we come back. And I said, God, what is it? He said, this is what it is. I'm going to give you an analogy. He said, some people, what they want is they got a lot of stuff going on. They got stuff and their needs are just off the charts. They're thirsty. They're parched on the inside. They need water. But what they want is somebody just to wet them. Just wet me. Folks just want the water's right there. I just can't go. They want it to be carried to them. They want it to be thrown on them. And every now and then they'll stick their tongue out and get a drip that's dripping off of them. And they go and they go, oh, man, I went to church and, boy, I'm feeling good. They get home, they're still dry and thirsty. He said, but what I want to do is I want the water of the word to go in them. It may not get your chill bumps going, but you're going to know how to be faithful. You're going to know how to show up. You're going to know how to do what God wants you to do because on the inside of you, you're building yourself because you have the nutrition that's necessary to keep you. And he said, that's what's happening. People are looking for a church they can go to feel good. But this is not, this is not what we're doing here. We're trying to get you to drink. Get you a good drink of the word of God, no matter where you go. You don't have to come here. You can go wherever you want. You can be living in any state. It doesn't matter. Geographics can't change the fact that the power of God is dealing with you directly. I don't care where you go. I don't care what school you go to. People say, well, I got to change friends. I don't care who your friends are. You think that makes a difference to God? What you need, it's not changing friends that makes the person. It's having a relationship with God that does. Because that's where God wants you, because your friends are about to change. Because they see something in you. Jesus sat and ate and drank with publicans and sinners. Most churches wouldn't allow Jesus in their building today. Because that guy's a rebel. That guy's out there. Huh, we don't eat with them people. They smoke. People get all worked up. And I don't care. Light another one up. Because we get all worked up about that. I'm there to be an example. I'm there to do what God told me to do. And I'm going to be in that environment, and I'm going to still do what God asked me to do. I'm not going to go the other way. You got to be in a position where the Holy Spirit empowers you so much that you'll have that strength. And that's what he wants to do. Now, I've seen people that moves quicker than their brain works. You know what happens with that, huh? You get yourself in trouble. I'm ready to fight the devil. Well, go on. You'll come back like that. You know what that means, huh? That's your butt in your hands. And you don't want that. You say, you ever dealt with that? How have I dealt with that? Pastor. I told you. Keep that mouth shut and read. The Holy Spirit not only transforms us into a new creation, we receive power to do the work at hand. I'm still doing the review, I just realized. Okay. We may look the same on the outside, but when I do review, I always add stuff. You probably never heard most of this stuff. We may look the same on the outside, but the inside, we are a new creation. We are born again with the Holy Spirit and his power. That's every person in here that believes. Every person. You say, well, but I got all these issues. Don't matter. I'm not talking about, if I wanted to pick on your issues, I could have. But why would I have to do that? You pick on them enough. You don't need me. You live with them. You go on to bed with them. So you don't need me to fool with them. They fooled with plenty. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And the enemy wants you to think you don't have anything. You don't have anything. Nobody likes you. You're an outcast. You've been separated. Nobody wants to. I'm telling you that God cares, and he's not casting you out, and he does love you, and he does care about you, and he gave you the same power he gave me. No different. And that's how I operate, and you can operate the same way. If it wouldn't be for the grace of God on my life, I'd be in a mess. But I live by the grace of God and the power that he's given me to do what he's asked me to do. On Pentecost, the Spirit came upon the disciples, equipping them with power to bring the gospel forth from Jerusalem. The power of the Spirit was not only for the disciples in Jerusalem, but also for us. We can apply the benefits and power of the Spirit in our own lives, understanding what the Spirit does in our lives. Every person in here can do that. Now, there were 10 points that I had to make, and this is number one. So we're not going to finish. So did I go an hour? Is it an hour yet? I think I got 5 minutes. Do I? I need about 5 more minutes. Who give me 5 more minutes? Raise your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Hands over on this side. Y'all seen them? They went, boom. I'll take just that side. I got 30 minutes more on that side, just that side alone. Boy, y'all something. Number one, the Holy Spirit is our teacher guiding us into truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher guiding us into truth. John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Who's speaking? Who's the speaker? Jesus is the speaker. So the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. Who's sending the Spirit? Is that clear? We're not the one who's where the Holy Spirit comes from. The Father's going to send the Holy Spirit. In whose name? Jesus' name. He will teach you all things. How many things? All things. So you say, well, there's some things I just can't figure out. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. He will. Does it all come on the same day? No, it doesn't. You're not going to be well-versed in the Scripture. So I got saved, I shouldn't know. No, you're not going to be. You're not going to be well-versed in the Scripture. It'd be like me going to Indiana, and I go to work for AJ on a bill in the chicken barn. And he says, you see that pile of lumber right there? Go ahead. And I'm going to go, what? You're going to get something built, but it won't look like anything you've ever seen. Right? Because I don't know. Now I'm there. I'm on time. I'm available. And I want to learn. But he'll have to teach me. And I won't get it the first day. It'll take time. And the same thing here. If I bring you here and I say, listen, you want to go fishing? There's the boat. You go to Grand Isle. You're going to go somewhere, but you won't wind up in Grand Isle. See? It took time. I didn't know how to do that. It took time, years of learning. And we get saved, and we want to just have every answer. We want to figure out everything. It takes time. The Spirit will teach you all things. So it's not, you'll have it. So you need to have some. So the Spirit, in order for me to learn, I have to listen. I'm going to have to be there and listen. And the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You have to listen. If you do, you're going to be successful. And bring your remembrance all that he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So Jesus said, everything I said to you, it'll bring to your remembrance. So that's important. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. So does the Holy Spirit speak on his own initiative? He said he won't. He will not speak on his own initiative. That's an issue, right? Because you know why? You know why the Holy Spirit won't speak on his own initiative? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a will. Everybody's looking. Does Jesus have a will? Does God have a will? That we never see in the Scripture one time where the Holy Spirit has a will. He only does what he's told by the Father. The operational presence of God operates the things of God as it's spoken. That's what it does. He will not do his own initiative because he has no initiative. He's there for purpose. It's empowerment. So you've been empowered by Holy Spirit. And that's how it works. It operates that way. Very important. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man? So that's a very important statement. Who knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man? Even so, notice this, even so the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Makes perfect sense to me. Makes perfect sense. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Because it's directly from God, and it's God's way to communicate or to interact with us until the full possession takes place. We're not ready for the full possession. If God came in his fullness to any one person in this room, I don't care how saved or how close or how spiritual you think you are, you will not be able to stay alive in his presence. That's why we have to be changed. That's why he said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead will be raised. Are they going to be raised the same way? No, they're going to be raised a different way. They're going to be different. The perishable is perished, but they're going to be raised imperishable. That's the difference. When we laid people in the grave, they were perishable, and then we go back years later, and you exhume a body, and you go, where's that? Right? Because it's perishable, decays. But when you're raised in Christ, it's imperishable. Now, we're ruling and reigning with Christ, and now we can be in his presence. And then that's when the Father's going to come. And it's absolutely incredible. I wish I had time to go over it all. I'm trying to teach a lot of stuff here in just a short period of time. Number two, I'm going to give you three of them. We'll stop on number three. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Get one verse here, Romans 8, a couple verse, 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Can anybody relate to weaknesses? Do we have them? Of course we do. But the Spirit also helps our what? Weaknesses. So when I'm weak, I can be made strong by the assistance of the Holy Spirit. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Now, that's a very important statement. We do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's incredible. That's incredible. And has anybody ever been in a pinch? I mean, you're sitting there and you're going, I don't even know what to say, God. Don't say anything. Just sit quiet. Get your Bible. Just hold on to it. And the Holy Spirit begins to intercede for you. And all of a sudden, man, you start feeling better. You hadn't said anything to God. You didn't ask anything. Because something happens. Guilt and condemnation comes on people. It just happens. And the enemy is the author of that. He'll try to make people feel guilty. Oh, look what you did. And look what you're just a bad person. You're never going to. And then the people at church ain't going to like you no more. Blah, 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 blah. And you start. And guilt and condemnation comes. And all of a sudden you start feeding off of that. You won't even want to. You're like, I can't even pray. What Holy Spirit does? Comes and prays for you. Words you don't even know how to speak. And all of a sudden that guilt and condemnation starts to fall off of you. And the phone rings. How you doing? Just was thinking about you today. I wonder how that happened. You get me? I wonder how that happened. There's a lot of nice people in the world. But we've got to give our nice deeds that we do. The credit needs to be given the Holy Spirit. Because I don't care how good we think we are. We're just not that good. The Bible says it this way. Be careful how you follow your heart. Because the heart is deceitful. So I don't follow my heart. Somebody says, you know, I don't want to go to church until my heart's in it. Please leave your heart out. Because we'll be in trouble. Just follow the Holy Spirit. If you want to know what I do, it's because I'm following the Holy Spirit. I realize that the direction I had my life going in wasn't right. And he's been directing me ever since, and it's absolutely been incredible. Incredible. Verse 27, and he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Notice that. Why does he intercede for the saints according to his own will? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a will. Hence, the Holy Spirit is not a person. That wasn't fit. What I just said doesn't fit in a lot of places. Maybe it doesn't fit in your idea. But if you can find it, please let me know. He said, well, what about the personal pronouns that's attached to he, him? Because you can personify the operational presence of God, like wisdom, she. That didn't mean there's a woman up in heaven called wisdom. It's personified. She, wisdom. How many understand that? Same thing. So keep that in mind when you study them. Just then, listen. You find something different, please let me know. Number three, last one, the Holy Spirit gives us joy and peace. Anybody need some of that? I like joy and peace. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Isn't that powerful? So this is Holy Spirit. So if you want to know the characteristics of how Holy Spirit works, and you say, what is the Holy Spirit? It's the operational presence of God. So if I apply every one of these to God, God is love, joy, peace, patient, kind, goodness, faithful, gentle, self-control. How many know God is all those things? And how does he manifest those things? By Holy Spirit. So we can interact with God. We can't interact with God outside of Holy Spirit. You just can't do it. Somebody said, man, I heard from God. Really? we have to be careful on those words. You heard from God. You wouldn't have been around to tell us. So we know that you might have been, you was wooed by Holy Spirit, which is his operation to us today. But one day, you'll be able to hear him and contain the words that he says. It's absolutely going to be incredible. Well, who can go? Everyone that's here. Everyone can live in that age. When Christ returns, he's going to set up the kingdom. He's going to be the king of all kings. There are going to be other people on this planet, rulers, and people who are trying to run everything, but we're going to be there to assist him. The Bible says, the dead raised, but those which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That Lord there is Jesus, talking about our Lord Jesus. We're going to be with him for how long? Forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So this is the important principles. I want to do everything I can. He said, some of you will be given cities to tend to. Some will be great. Some won't be great in the kingdom. Nonetheless, you'll be in the kingdom, which is a win. It's a big win to be in the kingdom. But he said there'll be some who'll be great in the kingdom. And he said those that'll be great in the kingdom will be those who will keep my commands and my laws and my statutes. They'll follow those things. There'll be people who don't understand and they follow in other statutes and laws and directions, but they love the Lord and they're born again. And they have Holy Spirit in their life, but they don't understand the Holy Spirit. But many, many people are going to be saved with that in that level, but they'll be least in the kingdom. Now, you say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. I'll take whatever. Well, you don't have that choice. You understand? You're responsible for what you should have known. And what you should have known is every time Holy Spirit wooed you to a direction of learning, you have to be obedient to do that. You have to be obedient. So I'm going to encourage every one of you, get your Bible, each person here. Don't leave it up to the preacher to do your reading for you. If your preacher's the only one reading, you're not getting enough. Get your Bible. You can get your smaller Bible, a big, whatever Bible you want. If you're looking for the right Bible with all the correct stuff in it, you're not going to find one. There's no interpretation, none, not one, that's 100% correct. Just get you something you can read and understand, okay? Something that you can understand. And if you need some help, you get stuck on something, you might have to ask some questions because some of the interpretations have some outright, deliberate things to lead you astray. But it's in every one of them, so I can't tell you why there's one that's just, you know, a standout. I can't tell you that. Every one of them need to be looked at carefully. So with that being said, God will protect his own word. And that's what he's done. Amidst the people trying to do everything they could to destroy the word of God, God's protected his own word. So much so that it's been delivered to the people so we can receive it in enough way so we can come to know him. So I'm asking every one of you, get your Bible. You sit down. You got some quiet time. You wake up in the morning. If you had coffee, drink, whatever you do. I don't know what it is you do. Maybe in the evening. Maybe you're an evening person where you know, no matter how hard you work, you can sit down and stay up for a couple hours. Whatever. Open your Bible up. Listen, the whole Bible is true, and it's relevant for today. Don't get this craziness in your mind. We don't need the Old Testament. We just need the New Testament. That's crazy. You need everything God said. Everything. You know, if I send you and direct you somewhere to go somewhere, and I say, listen, I need you to go in such and such a place, and I'm going to give you there's 10 critical areas that you need to remember. And I said, but I'm only going to give you the last five. You're going to be wondering about the first five, going, man, how am I going to do that? Like, how can I even get to five if I don't know where's one? It's crazy. The whole Bible, it's okay. You read it and you apply it to your life as best you can. And you allow Holy Spirit to engage that and be sensitive to listen. And let me tell you, some of my most awesome times with God is when I just was quiet. I just listen. Just listen. And he'll give you words. He'll just fill your words up. Listen, you can come up here and you say, well, what am I going to say? I remember when I first started pastoring 30 years ago. I'd write down everything. Man, I'd have handwritten notes. I'd just write everything down. And I'd bring me up, you know, 4 or 5 pages during the week I was writing. I'd bring them to the platform. And I said, boy, I'm going to go for a while. I got all these notes. I'm just going to go off of my notes. And I would be so afraid not to have those notes. Oh, if somebody would have took my notes right before I went up, I would have went, okay, I'm in trouble now. But it got to the point where I realized something. That's for me to do. That's my homework. But when I get up here, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. He knows what to say, when to say it. It needs to flow. He knows every person that was going to be here before I even made these slides. Before I even started with this title, he knew every single person that would be in this building on this particular night, and he knew the setting, how it would be set. And he worked out every detail in our lives to see to it that we'd be right here so we can hear this information. And my prayer is that you'll take it, you embrace it, and you allow God to minister to your life. And I just want to tell each one of you, I love you, and I thank God for all of you. You're special people. And maybe you haven't been told that in a long time. I want to tell you, you're special to God. You don't have to be special to other people so you can feel like something. I want to tell you, you're special to God. And God worked out every detail to make sure you heard the things tonight. Because he loves you. And he cares about you. And he wants you to have great success. And don't ever measure yourself by somebody else. Don't say, well, if I only had that. You're a unique person. And if God wanted you to be like them, you would. Be you. You be you. Appreciate where you are, where you grew up, your family. Thank God for that. That's important. And you blossom right where you are. And be everything God wants you to be, right where he planted you. I've traveled the world. And we've been in some countries. I go, God, I'm so glad I was born on the bayou. I'm so glad, because I think about, wow. But you know what? They were born there, and my heart goes out to them. And that's why we go, because you know what? I speak just like I'm speaking here. I go to encourage people. I go to lift them up, and I've seen some serious poverty, and I wonder about it. Man, I got, and make you want to come home and get rid of stuff. But we're so blessed. But you can't be in this blessing, in this position, and not utilize it. It's a reason you are. Utilize it for the purpose of building the kingdom of God. Amen? How many love him? How many love the Lord? Isn't he good? He's good to us. Let's stand.